Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
She's made it. She's landed yet another wonderful return to get the job done for the biggest win of her career. Out goes the second seed and Roland Garros champion, Coco Gauff.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
There are a lot of Fever fans in this building.
And Indiana has done it. Their first ever Commissioner's Cup Championship, knocking off the Minnesota Lynx.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague. Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
Okay.
Hello, good morning.
What is happening?
Happy hump day.
You humping over there? You getting your hump on today?
I did not get my hump on.
No hump on yet today?
No.
What's up with that?
I'm the only one awake.
No early morning hump, huh?
I didn't hump myself.
Yeah, you didn't want to hump yourself before you came into work?
No.
You can get a little clarity if you do that, though. You know, clear the mind a little bit. Empty the pipes.
Yeah, no, I'm not opposed to the idea. Just not every day I wake up at 4 a.m. ready to do that. You know what I mean?
I love that our YouTube's not working this morning.
And we're not on YouTube?
No, I think we are now on YouTube, but we're the hot corner today. And I pulled it up to see if we're live because I like to tweet out the link so people can come watch the show and hang with us on YouTube.
Sure.
And the camera that's on me is super panned up right now, and you could just see the top of my head. So you look like you're about 4 feet taller than me. It looks fantastic. It's a good start to the show.
Who do you think did that? The coin people?
Somebody's screwing with something. Mm. Damn it, coin, stop touching our cameras, all right?
Mm, careful there.
Careful.
Yeah,
it's early.
Be careful.
Yeah, but up since 2:30. What do you want from me?
All right.
No, I'm not, but, you know, we'll get through it. I love the 4th of July, but I'm very eager for the 4th of July to be over.
Oh, the fireworks, huh?
Fireworks again, man. Fireworks all week. Maybe I'm on, like, 10 hours of sleep this week, so, you know, we're doing fantastic.
You know what's funny is I kind of feel the same way. I don't have a newborn, but I just, my family was gone. And
yeah, a little unsettled.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like one of those, I'm so used to having my family around that it's, like, weird when they're not for an extended period of time.
It's a little strange. You're not used to being alone.
No, I'm not. It's been a long time since I've been, like, alone. And so I'm also feeling that sleep thing, but I haven't been awake since 2:30.
Okay.
That's a different level of not getting any sleep that I'm not familiar with.
Well, then you get to the point where you're like, I could go back to bed, but at this point it's like 3:45, and what's the point? You know, it's just...
There is that.
Because then you fall back to sleep, and then if you fall back into the deep sleep, then you're groggy when you get up.
It's actually worse.
It's worse, so you just ride it out at that point. We're just going to ride this one out today. We'll see how far we make it.
Now, was it fireworks waking you up, or making the dog bark, or...
Combination of everybody.
Game.
I slept through it, and then everybody simultaneously woke up, and then when everybody else woke up is when I woke up. And then after a while, it's like, hey, can you help out here? We've been up for about 2 hours. And it's like, yeah, what the hell? You know, why not? Let's just get up at 2:45. Sounds like a great way to start my hump day.
Has all of this been going how you expected mentally?
Oh, it's just fantastic. I love having kids, dude. It's great. I recommend it to everybody. You lose... all of your free time and your money evaporates. He's eating like a vacuum cleaner now.
Dude, he's not even big yet.
No, he's not. It's just constantly eating. He's just hungry every night when he goes to bed. I'm like, dude, I'm feeding you what I'm supposed to be feeding you. He just wants more. So I'm like, all right, we're feeding him every like 30 minutes now at this point. Just keep shoving food down his gullet.
What's the thing maybe you weren't ready for?
Definitely the lack of sleep. The lack of sleep is the number one killer
for me. Okay, so it's obviously something people kind of mention as you get ready to be a parent,
yeah,
right?
You
hear
it.
About it. You know. You're, okay, he's going to cry. I'll have to wake up.
Yeah.
But you still naming it makes me think...
I didn't quite comprehend how bad it was going to be.
You didn't know the effects of maybe the lack of sleep you'd get.
The combo of this job with a newborn is what the killer is.
Oh, 100%. Because
like nights like tonight or last night, he's up, fireworks going off. You're up in the middle of the night. He fell back to sleep around 3:15-ish, 3:30-ish. Mm-hmm. Dude, he's going to sleep till 8 o'clock. He's going to sleep all. So if I didn't have to get up for this job, I'd sleep in till 8 o'clock today.
So
you would eventually catch up. And then the getting up in the middle of the night stuff wouldn't kill you.
Yeah.
It's the fact that there's a 4 a.m. alarm that's going to go off on top of it. So once you're up, you know you're just, that's it. You're cooked for sleep.
Now, do you and your wife actually have strategy, or has that gone out the window now? And some days it's you do it. No, you do it.
I take care of the overnights on the weekend because I can sleep in a little bit.
Okay.
I don't mind chipping in.
Sure.
And usually during the week, she does the vast majority of it.
Okay.
Unless there's instances where it's like, I need a bullpen relief arm. It's been 2 hours and nothing's working right now.
Yeah, no, that's that definitely happens.
All right, fine, I'll get up.
Sometimes the kid, maybe with you, is a little easier than the other person.
Falls back to sleep.
100% get it. I think it's the one benefit I had, aside from just having kids at a younger, like a lot younger age, age I don't think I should have had kids.
Sure.
The one benefit.
They figured it out. They're fine.
They're okay.
They're fine.
The one benefit I would say is we didn't have this slot.
No, we were later in the day.
And I'm tired. And
we started, we were a night show. You get home and the kids already be in bed.
Yeah.
They're asleep.
But like, I'm tired and my kids don't wake me up.
I'm tired and my kids do wake me up. And I was already tired before I had the kid because I'm not a morning person to begin with.
Right.
And it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that people warn you about when you have a kid. And I don't think you can fully comprehend.
You can't get ready for that.
No, there's no way that you can prepare for the lack of sleep until you go through it and you realize, oh my God. I remember a buddy telling me early on, like a month in, like, hey, you're still alive over there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know, barely standing. And he was like, yeah, there's a reason that sleep deprivation is a form of torture. That's a reason that we use it against the terrorists overseas.
I would give up all the information after 1.5 days of no sleep.
What do you want to know? I'll tell you everything.
Just let me sleep.
Where are all the people? They're over there. They're over there. They're over there. Can I go to bed now? Can you turn a light off? Turn the music off? Can you give me a bed and a blanket? That sounds fantastic.
That would be funny test, sleep deprivation, just to see how quick before you give up information.
Any kind of torture, I'd fold. I'd
really?
Fold like a cheap chair, man. I couldn't handle it. I don't have a good pain tolerance. You start like shoving stuff in my fingernails or cutting things off, I'm out, dude. I'm telling you all you need to know.
There is a scene in the new Mission Impossible movie, pretty early in the movie, when Tom Cruise gets captured and there's a gal in there and he's tied up. Obviously, he's, you know, chained to some post and they're basically going to off the girl because, you know, that's how you get to him emotionally.
I'm going
to
kill him unless you, or kill her unless you say something.
And they try to punish him at the beginning and he just like, he gets hit with like a wrench or something and he's just like, nope,
I'm not going to say anything.
And I just like, I like to pretend to myself that I'm
okay,
like,
fine, what do you want to know?
I'd also do that. I would be tough. And I'm like, I think a wrench to my face and
dude,
I'm over.
A wrench to the face would hurt so bad. Are you kidding me? Somebody swinging a heavy ass wrench and it hitting you upside the head? No, thank you.
Now,
I'll tell you all.
Here's the question I have. Here's the situation.
What do you got?
Which of the three of us, and you can vote yourself if you think it's you, which of the three of us would give up the information in a torture situation the quickest?
I have no problem recommending myself for number one in that instance.
Really?
I don't stand a chance.
No pain tolerance.
I don't think any of us would. We would all eventually cave and give it up.
We'd all squeal.
But
like,
I don't have any problem saying it would be me.
Here's the situation.
Like, how on your back are you when you get a man cold? When I get a man cold, I'm out. I'm toast.
How on my back?
Yeah,
or
like, are you functioning with a man cold? When I get a man cold, I'm toast. I'm tapping out for the day.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing anything.
I heard that differently.
Yeah.
I
think me and Swag heard that similarly.
You did. You got your heads in the gutter. Wake up, all right? I've been up for 4 hours. Let's go.
Sorry, I can join you now. I have fixed YouTube, so it is
I kind of wish you kept the camera that way. That was pretty funny, just seeing the little top of my head. I look like
so he changes the camera?
He can. I think he can swivel the camera.
Yeah, there's a thing I can
joystick. Oh, that's great. Okay.
We have camera control.
I didn't know. I was
look
told
at
we
us.
Didn't.
No, we got it now, baby. We're doing good.
Do you think you would be quicker, or would you take the torture longer than dirt?
I would try to hold out a little bit, but it won't be very long.
I mean, I guess if we're talking about
cutting off
a finger, nobody's
like
lasting.
Like
sleep deprivation.
Sleep deprivation, I can go for a while.
I think I could go.
Yeah, so I just doesn't sleep, which is mind-boggling.
I think I could go maybe second. Because I think right now, as your life is, I think you'd lose.
Yeah, well, without a doubt.
I mean, the minute you don't
Because I'm
get
already
sleep
deprived to begin with. Right. If I was like a well-slept individual, and then you deprive me for a little bit, I could hang on for a couple of weeks maybe if that was the torture.
Yeah.
But I've already been tortured for a year and a half.
I'd be seeing if I could play mind games with one of the henchmen or something like that at some point.
Just get outsmart them.
You're going to outdo the henchmen?
Well, they're henchmen. They're getting whacked at some point.
Well, right, but their whole mission is to just
cause pain. No, I understand.
And
they keep rotating them, but as you know,
you have them having conversation with you. I like that you have them going,
Hey, Jason, how's your day going today?
Yeah. Huh? What'd you have for breakfast today? You have a scone? You stop and get a coffee?
Saw what you did yesterday when I was stalking you before I captured you.
Yeah. Poll question is up. Who would give up information the quickest while being tortured?
Now, who do we think the poll's going to say? Because I think it's going to be me.
Probably you will win this poll question.
Yeah, I'm the soy boy.
You're a soy boy. Yeah, we get it. I mean, you know, medium pizzas, urban hikes.
My own daughter calls me zesty.
Yeah, you know, you are a little zesty.
Where did that
You got a zestiness
from?
Quality to you.
Yeah,
you know, I do. I could see it.
Yeah, raised by a woman.
I'm salty.
Yeah, you are salty.
You're salty.
I'm
petty.
Yeah, you're petty.
I'm petty.
Oh, yeah, you are petty.
Very petty.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we all of a sudden the seven dwarves here?
I think we are. That's our
dwarf name.
Our category.
Hey, Petty!
Hey, Petty, come on down. We need something from you today, Petty.
Salty and Zesty would never be friends. They hate each other.
They absolutely would hate each other.
Leave me alone!
Those are the two dwarves that would be fighting the entire movie.
I don't like that color on you.
Did you see the new Sleeping Beauty movie?
I'll give you some color!
You mean the Snow White
one? Yeah, or the Snow White one?
No,
yeah.
We never ended up seeing it. I'm kind of very opposed to the remakes.
The live action ones creep me out a little bit.
I did tell you the Lilo and Stitch was a little better than I thought it would be, but it's still like when you know the whole everything.
I know the plot. I know where it goes.
You're just milking me at that point.
Well, I just go watch the old one and there's nostalgia at play there. The live action ones freak me out. Mm. It just doesn't quite seem like that should be made. And the movies were already solid. The old ones are fine.
Well, also, there was a big uproar. Well, the main gal, she was pretty vocal.
She caused a bit of a dust storm.
On the Palestine Gaza stuff.
She did. And on the movie topics in general.
Well, yeah. So that didn't, you know, help the situation. But also, they had like that weird controversy where they weren't hiring little people.
Oh.
Remember
to be in the
Yeah, and what's the guy's name from Game of Thrones? The short one.
Oh, Peter Dinklage?
Dinklage. Yeah, Dinklage like came out and was I think he was like anti He wasn't advocate. I think I have this right. I don't think he was advocating for other little people to get the gig.
Okay.
And the community of little actors was
got
like
upset with him.
Yo,
what's going on here?
You are the forefront of our category.
You're our biggest star. We need to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love a role. There's not a lot of roles for us. This is a role for us.
Get paid.
You took them all.
Yeah. You made all those millions in Game of Thrones. Now we don't get to have jobs in Snow White. What are we doing?
I think it would have been better with humans.
What are they doing? They're just CGI.
Yeah, they're CGIs. It just would have been like the black small person for me, myself, and Irene that. Cheat that his wife.
Yeah, it's an elf.
The sire of the kids.
The guy
with the
beard.
The same one that's an elf?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, the assistant. Also, the short guy from Seinfeld.
Yep.
With the beard.
Yep.
Like,
is he still alive? Is he still around?
I don't know.
Okay.
But like, there's people I can think of that I'm like, I would like them in the movie.
That's almost like the exact scene in Seinfeld where he starts heightening and then all of them
turn against him.
This is like, this is a real life Seinfeld episode.
Are you heightening?
Are you heightening?
Heightening?
This kid grew 6 inches in 2 weeks. What do you want from me? I can't keep up with him.
That might be the most underrated episode of the show.
Shot up like a beanstalk, man. Something different about you. What's going on? You look different today.
He gets exposed.
You get
loses
a haircut.
The girl.
Yeah. No, it wasn't me. I promise.
Well, Dirt's not heightening.
No, I'm definitely not heightening. No. I would heighten. If you allowed me to heighten, I would heighten, but I don't really have
lifts?
A way to heighten.
Would you do lifts?
I mean, how much is that really giving you, though?
Nick Saban does it.
Yeah, I know that.
2 inches.
It gives you 2 inches? I'm raising 2 inches on my shoes?
Yeah.
Where does it go? On the bottom of the shoe? In the shoe?
Yeah, sometimes the sole's thicker.
See,
and then
sole,
you add something
walk around,
the
you look like
shoe.
An idiot. If people see you, the soles of your shoes are 2 inches? 2 inches is a lot, buddy.
Thing that gets thrown off is when you
like
don't
walk
have,
around in platform shoes.
When you don't have the heightening and you go back to your height, people are like, yo.
Dude, what happened to you?
You get exposed.
This is no good.
Then you get made fun of.
Yeah, to me, like, if you could find a way to give me an extra 6 inches, I'm all for it. But for two, not worth it.
Glad we got that. Well,
to do some editing work.
I mean, 5'7 to 5'9 is not 5'9 still short. I'm not going anywhere.
5'9 is the average, though.
Yeah.
Are you admitting you're 5'7"?
No, I'm 5'9". But if I were to heighten, then maybe I'd, you know.
How big a difference is 5'10 from 5'9"?
See, 5'10 sounds a lot different. 5'10, there's a good sound to it, you know? Like, so if I tell people I'm 5'10".
You got one good inch.
Then I feel like, that's like a, hey, you're actually not that small.
It's a real thought.
This is a thought, yeah.
That 5'10's different,
5'10
huh?
Hits different. Definitely hits different.
You made it sound like it's more than just the one inch difference that it
it's
is.
It's the sound of when people say, hey, how tall are you? You're 5'10". Oh, okay, you're
if,
almost 6'10".
If you could
foot.
Have one thing, Dirt, 5'10 or hair?
I mean, I got to, you know, 5'10. I'll take 5'10. Okay. I could be bald. I'm thinking about growing my hair out. Wife doesn't like it, but I'm thinking about keeping it going.
Your hair looks fine.
Might grow a mullet or something.
There
you
go.
Know?
I
let's
like
get,
that.
Let's get weird.
5'10 to 5'9. Never thought about it like that.
Yeah, 5'10 just, it sounds respectable.
I wouldn't know. I'm over 6 feet.
I mean, look at you. You two privileged individuals.
Yeah. 6 feet.
Yeah. Although I will say, when Ortner comes in, I hate it.
He's too tall.
He's uncomfortably tall. Uncomfortably I think he's taller than 6'5".
Yeah, it's just, he's weirdly tall.
Because I feel like I'm 9 inches, like, looking up, and I'm like, what the hell,
my
dude?
Neck hurts when I talk to that guy.
I'm not one of those exaggerating my height guys.
I've never been. I've been 6 feet tall.
I'm 6 feet with a little change over the 6 foot line. Have been my whole life. With shoes, I'm probably 6'1".
Yeah.
He legitimately, I feel like, is 8 inches taller than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you got to stare up at him.
He's
it's
weird.
Uncomfortable.
He's kind of weirdly built.
A lot of his clothes don't fit, too. They're too small. Get bigger clothes.
Well, he's
around,
really
you
proud
hang
of
a basketball team as long as I have when there's legitimate 7 footers roaming around and you're just, okay.
That's tall.
Yeah.
You've played on a basketball team?
No, you hang around.
Hang around a basketball team.
Like you travel and then we watching these guys try to fold into, you know, coach on airplane travel.
Oh,
like,
it's ridiculous.
I'll be 6 feet tall, perfectly happy. Thank you very
this
much.
Is fine.
It's ridiculous.
I have leg room on this flight. That's nice.
Well, it is a hump day edition of the show. We got Status Story to get to at 8:15. I have a ton of college football on my show sheet.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's good.
It. Fill me up with college football.
It's good.
Today.
It's not just going to be, what's LeBron got to do? Or what we heard before we came on the air, who needs to win the title the most?
I mean, Kyle Shanahan probably going to get fired if he doesn't win a Super Bowl this year. NFC title game's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
Super Bowl appearance won't be enough.
Yeah, as a Niner fan.
Guy's a massive disappointment, dude.
Fire that guy.
Can't win the big one, Bob.
Not like we were irrelevant before he got there.
No, I think you bring back Mike Singletary. What's he up to? He'll
it's
take his pants
like
off.
Show memo, do something that's not cover sports.
Yeah, there's that or...
You can't save that for like July 23rd when nothing is happening?
Or you go on a national show and you say
oh, no.
The most outlandish opinion possible.
July 23rd.
Knowing that it will go viral and then everybody gets to talk about and react.
It's like actual stuff to talk about, though.
Overly hot yes. Take.
Wow. Give us an ESPN show.
Yeah, we're ready.
We got real topics today.
We do.
We're going to start with this one. I'm going to start here. Will they regret it? Will they regret it? We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, it is good to be with you on this Wednesday. We start next on The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Put a poll question up. Is 5'10 way different than 5'9?
Easy yes.
Yes or no?
Easy yes. I'm almost 6 foot at that point. I'm like, right, I'm knocking on the door. Tippy toes, I can be 6 foot.
You get to 5'11", you just
if
say
I'm 5'10", then maybe I'm heightening and I'm 6 foot. All of a sudden, that 2 extra inches sounds a lot better.
You're a basketball player and you're 5'10", you're definitely listed at 6 feet.
Without a doubt, you are.
Oh, no question.
Without a doubt, yeah. You are.
So this broke during our show. And then, you know, the show gets over, and so we're able to get more information or maybe to read about it. And I'm really just genuinely curious, do you think the Milwaukee Bucks will regret what they did yesterday to Dame? Not in the karma, how dare you do that? I saw a lot of that takeaway. My buddy was like, man, loyalty's dead in sports. And I'm like, he's going to get paid $122
million
him. He is never... play.
He's thrilled. He gets to go home, rehab in Portland, and sign as a free agent wherever he wants to go a year.
Legitimately,
from now.
The math is he will make $120 million and he will not play in the span in which he makes $120 million. Sign me up, Bob.
Not to mention the fact that every offseason going forward, we will have trade conversations around Giannis. Every offseason.
So that's what I want to know is so they have the $22 million per year until 2030.
Mm-hmm.
And all of their moves are largely just running it back, but add Miles Turner to it.
That was their big swing.
And they don't control any of their draft, most of their draft
picks.
Most
of their draft stuff is out. I was reading some reaction to it yesterday, and it was funny because it was like, it was a bunch of people saying, what the hell are they doing? One exec called it reckless.
Yeah.
Another exec basically categorized it as the most desperate move, said, I would only do that move if I was sitting in a boardroom saying, I got to do something. I'm doing something right now because I have no other answers for what to do.
I mean, that's a pretty fair assessment. It unquestionably is reckless, but I also have no problem with it because you are in a position where you have a generational star, one of the greatest players we've seen in the NBA over the last 25 years, a multi-time MVP and an NBA champion in Giannis. His days likely are numbered in a Bucks uniform, and so you don't have a lot of options at this point. And the fail-safe that they have waiting for them at the end of this tunnel, or the crap pipe that they have to crawl out of like Shawshank Redemption, is that what's going to happen next offseason? Let's say it doesn't go great this year, which I wouldn't be surprised by, although the East is wide open. Mm-hmm. They have another early postseason exit next year. And Giannis, at that point, says, I'm one out. What kind of package is Giannis going to get traded for?
Oh, they'll get stuff for him in return,
like, you're going to recoup and you're going to rebuild. You're going to suck when he leaves no matter what.
Still going to have the $22 million per year on
their cap. For a couple of more years, you're going to suck for a couple of years anyways because you're Milwaukee and you're going to go back to being Milwaukee and you're probably going to tank for a couple of years unless you get a miracle trade. So I look at it, I understand all the criticism of it from a national standpoint. If I were a Bucks fan, I would at least be appreciative of the fact that they are trying something. Lillard's not going to play this year. Even when he comes back, you don't know how good he's going to be.
Right.
The cap hold for 5 years sucks. $22 million isn't great. They found a way to get Miles Turner, who was a good player on an NBA Finals team this year, has been a really good big in the NBA for 10 years. Like, they don't have a lot of options to improve the team because they don't have a lot of assets to play with, and so this was one of their few options. They took a risk. Is it going to pay off? Probably not. I wouldn't gamble on it, but they're going down swinging with a star player.
Yeah, I don't want to see, and it reportedly came out yesterday afternoon that like Giannis is still mulling over, and
he might still demand a trade this offseason.
It might come out of left field where he just says one day, we're running it back, but we're just adding Miles Turner. Now, the reporting on this was interesting, I thought. I'm always interested in this stuff as a media member.
There were several different angles.
Oh, boy.
It was all over the map yesterday.
You had Giannis is mad, but then you had countering reporting to that report that Giannis was elated and excited to play with Miles Turner.
He likes Miles Turner. He's wanted to team up with him for a while.
But then you had the same person that said Giannis was mad say Dame Lillard had no idea this was happening. He was caught off guard and couldn't believe it.
And then it was that,
and
he
then
also,
it was that he was really happy that this happened.
I think there's multiple. I think there is genuine disappointment.
I think there's one guy that's clearly putting out a message that the players want him to put out, and I think the rest of the people are sourcing and reporting from multiple angles.
I think everybody in that organization
is clearly. That's how a lot of this stuff works now.
Well, specifically Dame Lillard.
Reporting what people want you to report. That's how a lot of insider reporting works.
Yes,
say what I want you to say.
It is, but there's a lot of people that have insider sourcing access. The person specifically that had some of the early intel actually made his bones based on having a relationship with Dame and has a family tie-in to Giannis.
Yes. Yeah. A little bit of a connection there.
And that was the only report that came out that made this sound negative in any way from both angles. And all the other reporting was, no, we're good.
Yeah. And then it was the follow-up that he approached them about wanting to rehab all of next year or all of the offseason or whatever it was in Portland with his kids. And then Milwaukee wasn't happy about that.
Which is just like, that just feels like something you want to put out to make yourself look, I don't know. It's such a tough racket to be an insider.
Yes, it is.
But I didn't think yesterday was very good from specifically that insider.
No, it doesn't seem like he's had a great offseason either. I think he's whiffed on a handful of things so far. So it hasn't been a great run for him over the last handful of days, and yesterday was a culmination in that. This is a move that shouldn't upset Damian Lillard at all.
What person in the Bucks, by the way, cares if he's in Milwaukee or Portland working out and rehabbing?
Right. You know that he's going to rehab. You know he wants to come back.
You found one person in the organization that probably doesn't matter that says, oh, I don't know about that, and then you ran with that story.
Is this going to be a stabbing in the back, too, if Giannis ends up demanding a trade in 6 weeks? then Dame's out of Milwaukee. It doesn't have to be the one guy who's like, hey, I'm the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air standing in an empty house. There's nobody else here. If I were Lillard, I'd try to put myself in his shoes. I'd be thrilled about this because I don't know what the future of that organization is. I don't know how long Giannis is going to be around. He maybe has intel more than anybody else because of their relationship and being teammates. And the fact that he now gets all of his money spread out, he's going to get every single penny of that contract, and he gets to be a free agent and go sign wherever he wants in a year.
Yeah.
Like, that is a home run scenario for him of from the torn Achilles.
Might go to Miami now.
He might go to Miami. He might sign at home and go Oakland. Yeah. Hell, bring him home to Portland, baby. We need more under 6'2" guards. Like, he gets to choose wherever he wants to go.
It was terrifying really how quick we all got into that.
Everybody jumped on that train yesterday.
Now, definitely not going to happen, at least doesn't line up for what they're currently doing.
Right now.
Well, what they're doing doesn't make a lot of sense because we do have some vets.
But
we got Drew Holiday as the mentor. Why not Dame as the mentor? Huh? Bring him home.
Two guard mentors.
We need more guard mentors. That's a hell of a backup backcourt, Dame and Drew Holiday coming off the bench.
What do you mean? In 2 years.
In 2 years. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I wonder if they'll end up if he does ask out after this season. Having that $22 million for the next 3 years on your books is just brutal.
Yeah, look, it's not great. I totally understand that point. My argument would be, what are they going to do in the next 3 years sans Giannis anyways?
I mean, their whole roster building idea is pretty stupid.
They
in
still
my
have
opinion.
Doc Rivers as their head coach.
I also had that takeaway. I'm like, Doc is still their coach. What are they doing?
Somehow he still has a job. I don't understand.
I want Giannis to stay there, but I also look at that and I go, how the hell do you stay with this organization?
I don't get it.
They have just fumbled everything since you won a championship.
And they're desperately trying to save their relationship at this point by doing anything and everything possible to give them a chance to win. Maybe next year in the East, because it's so open and everybody's hurt, like maybe Milwaukee does go. Maybe they shock us. Maybe Giannis carries them to an Eastern Conference Finals next year.
Yeah.
But I'd be pretty surprised if that happened.
It reeks of the guy super desperate to keep the hot girlfriend who's no longer interested after 2 weeks.
For sure does.
You want a coach purse?
Constantly texting and buying things.
Dude, did you give her your credit card? Yeah, man. She's really into me.
She loves me, man.
I don't know, dude. She was at the bar last night. It's all right. Geez.
She's flirting with other guys right now. I don't know if it's going to work out well for you long term.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, the cap hold is not going to be great. But you trade Giannis, you're going to tank for 2-3 years anyways after he's gone. And so you're totally resetting. What's $22 million against your cap for a bad team that wants a high draft pick anyways?
Coming up next, in the world of college football, there is a player that is absolutely Andy Dirt Johnson. This was a great story to read because I swear to God, if Dirt was a college football player.
Could have been. If I was 5'10". If I would have heightened, I could have been.
At 5'9",
did get some offers.
Different.
I mean, I did have offers. I just chose to turn it down.
Would have been 5'10".
Would have been 5'10". Could have been D1.
He would have been in D2.
Could have been D1, 5'10".
5'11".
5'10", D1. Dylan Gabriel's. Yeah, I would have been taller than Dylan Gabriel.
You're not Dylan Gabriel, buddy.
You couldn't see me. You never saw me sling the rock.
What was your 40 time?
Don't worry about my 40 time. I would have been faster with longer legs. I had these short little legs, dude. I can't run fast. What do you want from me over here?
A college football player who is absolutely Dirt. I'll tell you who it is and how next on The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, from time to time, if people are asking about the show, they'd be like, so what's up with Dirt? And I'm like, what do you mean?
What's that guy's deal?
Like, what's he like off the air? See, every bit the jackass off the air that he is on the air.
I want to get a taste of like what that, how big does that feel?
Yeah. He's always wanting that. And they'll be like, oh, no, but like, you know, what could you tell us about him? And I'd be like, well, I don't know. He's a pretty normal dude. He's a diehard Duck fan and loves football. What do you mean? Like, oh, give me some. And I'm like, he's super petty. He's petty.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
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 You know who else is like this? I read a really good piece yesterday. A local cat. There must be something in the water in Oregon.
There is.
That makes us individually all want to live with Petty. Sam Levitt is the quarterback at Arizona State, formerly from West Lynn.
He's a West Lynn Lion. Yeah.
And there's a really good write-up by Pat Forty on Sam Levitt, where basically Sam Levitt tells us he has a whiteboard in his apartment, And with Magic Marker, he has his top 10 people in college football that he hates. And all 10 are quarterbacks that are perceived to be higher ranked than him.
Yes, I love it, Sam. Love it.
This goes back to his high school days. His mom basically is a psycho. His dad also a former college football player. And by a psycho, I mean that in a complimentary way.
Yes.
Hyper-competitive. She was a trainer at Nike. Anyways, they're quoted in this story. And basically in high school, he thought he was just way overlooked. He didn't get enough respect. And so he just wrote down lists of people that he would be like, I'm going to be better than this guy. I'm better than that guy. Jonathan Smith did not really favor him, didn't recruit him very well.
Local in-state kid.
And the minute Smith got to Michigan State, he remembered it and said, see you later, double birds. Yep. I'm out the window.
Yep.
I'm leaving.
Have fun bringing your guy in and Aiden Childs, and I'll take Arizona State to the college football playoff.
Well, so the Arizona State one, it was interesting, too. So he goes on his recruiting visit with his dad, and him and Arroyo spend hours watching film. His dad falls asleep in the film room because they just don't leave. And when he gets to Arizona State, he's basically told, hey, we're glad you're here. We got a guy. He's really good. His name's Jaden Rashada.
I started as a freshman.
And he goes, oh, all right, I ain't here to sit. Goes into camp, outperforms Jaden Rashada. Rashada then goes into the portal again. And then I think he went to Georgia after that.
He went to Georgia last year. Now
he's at Sacramento State.
Sac State.
But basically, he is a guy that lives with a level of petty and anger that has gotten him to be...
That's like Michael Jordan level.
Oh, it's a psycho. Stuff. He's an absolute psychopath. But it's interesting to note here in the story that I hadn't really considered, he's one of just a few players returning on a top 10 team.
Not a lot of returning quarterbacks.
At that position, how important that is. And so it's just a really good read of a local kid who operates on a level of Andy Dirt Johnson.
Yes.
I secretly hate you, and I have a whiteboard in my house to prove it.
I mean, it is interesting when you look at the sport at that position for next year. I mean, go through like the top 12, 13, 14 teams in the country from last season, and how many of them have a returning quarterback. Ohio State won the national title. He's gone. Notre Dame was in the national title. Their quarterback's gone. Oregon was undefeated. Quarterback gone. Texas in the semifinal, right? I think they made it. Gone. Penn State does have a returner. Georgia's gone. Tennessee's quarterback left. Indiana's quarterback left. Ole Miss quarterback left. I mean, Clemson is one of the few ones that has a returning quarterback. So there's not a lot of guys that are in this category. Sam Leavitt is one of the few, and that's why there's a lot of hype and expectation put on him. This is a DNA trait of great athletes, man. Finding whatever you can find to use his motivation. And I love that idea where he felt like he's been overlooked his entire career, that people here locally didn't give him enough credit. He would have been the perfect kind of quarterback recruit to go to a place like Oregon State. Super athletic dude. He's not undersized. He's got a good build, had a ton of success in high school, but he was even overlooked in his own state, had to transfer or go, excuse me, as a high school recruit out of state to Michigan State. Like, this is the kind of stuff that fuels great athletes. And I love reading stories like this. Sam Leavitt is somebody who has massive expectations on him this year. I think Heisman odds have him as a top five favorite to win the award. Had an unbelievable freshman season, technically redshirt freshman season, but still first year as a starter. And I can't wait to see where he goes from here.
Yeah, I have times in my house, like we do competition stuff in little moments, like racing up the stairs.
Yeah.
I've been doing that with my kids forever.
See who can win.
The funny thing is I've had moments where we're doing competitions and my youngest operates on a really heavy level of competition to the point where if she loses,
not happy about
it. Oh, dude, she storms off. And I sometimes, as a parent, I'm like, am I being too old school? And, you know, I'm like counterbalancing both of these. Like, do I raise her to be a psycho or am I damaging her, creating trauma? There's a blurb in here because he has multiple siblings where basically his sisters never let him win. And his mom is saying, I can't tell you how many card games ended with him throwing the cards down and running upstairs crying.
Yeah.
But now look at him.
Now look at him.
Maybe I got a D1 quarterback I'm raising.
He's an unbelievable athlete. That's how you got it. You make them lose their entire lives to the point where they can't stand the thought of losing, that they do something about it.
You know, the expectations, I don't know where, because we have a lot of college football I want to get into today.
Yeah.
I don't know where Arizona State is for you guys, because they had such a really surprising great season.
They did.
But I think there's a lot of people around the country that look at it and go, one-off random versus...
It's the Big 12.
Well, I know, but, you know, Whittingham is still in that.
No, I know.
Deion had a nice season. We'll see what they can do. They got a good quarterback that they're happy about. Oklahoma State, are they going to bounce back from what was an outright disaster?
Baylor's the dark horse right now in that conference. Baylor, Avery Johnson's back at Kansas
Texas
State.
Texas Tech is loaded up.
Yeah, they went to the portal.
A 1 year. Can
absolutely.
They,
yeah. There's some good teams in that conference. Yeah. And I think I the just question is, they're going to repeat.
Yeah, the combination of Leavitt and Dillingham for a second year, like together and all off season and everything, and how much of their success was how special Scadabo was.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big part of their offense. He was unbelievable. He was everything for them last year. Catching and throwing it. I mean, he literally did everything for their offense.
But this is where I would say that first year, I didn't think Leavitt was... I didn't think he was amazing, but I thought he was really good for his first year in that system.
A redshirt freshman starting quarterback. Yes. They have 24 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Right.
Without the best talent. I mean, Scadabo is a great running back, but outside of that, not a world-class talent around.
But he was really efficient.
Yes, he
and
was.
He earned that trust, and he had a nice first season for himself. But this is the year, I think, traditionally with a quarterback situation like this, that you're like, all right. 24-6 is really good on paper.
Now you go dominate.
Now you go dominate.
Yeah, now you are the offense. It's
right.
Not Scadabo anymore. It is the Sam Leavitt offense.
And I think he's kind of driven by that because it's not that he, you know, didn't like Scadabo. Obviously, he loves him. But I think there's a little bit of if he's operating like this in this story, I think there's an element of like, oh, it was him, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Like I think based on how I'm reading this story, which is really good, it makes me root even harder for them.
It absolutely. I mean, they're already a fun team to root for anyways because Dillingham's a hilarious character and I want him to succeed being so young. When you look at the Big 12 race, though, it's interesting because I feel like that conference is... There's a lot of good teams, maybe some really good teams, no elite teams, and that leads to pure chaos.
Well, two conferences have bought in all the elite teams.
Yes.
To defend them a little bit... They might not have an elite, quote-unquote, team, but they've got some good ones.
And, of course, Texas gets elite right when they left after not winning a Big 12 title, essentially, for like 15 years.
Yeah.
They might have won the last one.
Yeah.
But I look at the conference is going to be maybe the most enjoyable and fun conference to watch in college football every year. Because if I tell you 7 different teams right now, I say, hey, they win the Big 12, you wouldn't be surprised by it. Utah finds a way back with Whittingham. BYU's got to find a new starting quarterback. They could do it. Colorado brought in a transfer quarterback, to your point. Kansas State's got one of the best returning quarterbacks in the country, in my mind, who's coming back for another year. Don't forget about Kansas, who had a down year last year, but then played much better in the second
start.
Half of the year.
Yeah, that finish was
they
way
finished
better.
Finished great.
Yeah.
And you look at Arizona State last year, there were a lot of games, and this is going to be the beauty of the Big 12 year in and year out, that were coin flip games. They happened to win on one possession. The BYU game came down on the wire. They beat Kansas in a shootout. They almost lost a new Pac-12 team, Texas State, in week 3.
Damn right
they won
did.
A lot of close games last year, and it led them to an incredible run and an incredible season. But if you're asking me to gamble on a Big 12 champion, I probably wouldn't bet them because I don't think the odds are great. Didn't even mention Iowa State, who's returning a ton of talent this year as well.
Yeah, it's a good
so
point.
So the Big 12 is completely wide open, and it's going to lead to, like, I feel like we all know.
Isn't every conference kind of wide open?
Yeah, but outside of, like, Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon, would you be confident putting money on somebody winning the Big 10?
I would throw Michigan in there just
would
out
you,
of...
With a freshman quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? I'd throw them in the mix. They beat Ohio State last
they
year.
They did. They did.
They made...
I'm not saying they're going to be terrible. I don't know if I'd gamble on them to win the Big Ten. And I feel the same way about the SEC.
I bet their value's not bad, though.
The value is great. I'm sure it'd be a nice little payout
The SEC
you.
Certainly has their top, the Big Ten.
Yeah, Georgia. You got Texas. Like, there's the known... Alabama's got a lot of talent back.
Well, and I think it's... You know, something we could do when we come back because we're going to be on vacation soon. But, like, I do think this is kind of what we've been talking about off the air of, I think they're kind of all open.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it's wide open for the whole conference. We just listed, like, what,
not
six
to the
teams?
Level of the Big 12. I feel like I could see 75% of the Big 12 winning the conference.
Absolutely.
This year.
You can talk yourself into it.
There was, like, 7 teams who I think going into the final week of the season had a chance to make the Big 12 title. There was, like, 20
all those
different
scenarios.
Tiebreaker
scenarios.
Colorado gets in. If this happens, BYU gets in. Iowa State, Arizona State. Like, there were a ton of teams who had a chance to do it last year.
Well, we'll stick in the sport. This guy becoming very vocal, and man, he's really vocal. I'll tell you who it is next on The Fan. Well, why some might be debating if LeBron's going to be a Laker or the Miami Heat are going to get a big player.
I'd like to talk about the Dallas Cowboys coming up next. Is this the year? Can Dak win the big one?
We're knee-deep in college football. I did a lot of college football reading yesterday. I think I've come around to this opinion. I don't think you're going to like it.
Uh-oh. What do you got?
I love that the Big 12 said, We're not doing preseason rankings.
Nah, I'm anti that.
No, it makes it more exciting.
No.
You actually get to see the teams and go, how I think this is going to be versus, oh, Arizona State's dead last preseason. They're going to suck. That was such bad analysis by everybody involved. You, me, all the Big 12 writers.
That's what makes it fun. It's just a media poll. It doesn't mean anything.
It does.
What does it mean?
It's real to me, damn it.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just a straw poll of media members at Media Days.
What does it mean?
Yeah, pick 1 through 16. Look, all right, see what we come up with.
That's fair. We are going to be wrong on how we view teams this year.
I agree with this take on, by the way, on the preseason top 25. Having a preseason legitimate top 25 is dumb. These are media, like, that's just, it's nothing, there's no number next to your name.
Right.
How do you think the conference goes? How do you go? Let's take a shot in the dark.
We're not talking about this.
No.
No.
No. No. But the majority of the people covering that conference were all asked, and they said they're the worst. And then they won it.
That's the beauty of the Big 12. It could happen again this year. I wouldn't be surprised by it.
Well,
we won't know because they won't have a media poll.
Well, we got a superstar in college football, Bob. Big superstar.
Dante Moore, I know he's a big deal.
Yeah, he's so important. He's not going to Big Ten Media Day.
Well, they don't want him to be, you know.
It's because they don't know who the quarterback
is. They don't want him to be too big for the team. Yeah, you know, he's got to earn.
It hurt his feelings if Novosad was on that plane, even though Dan Lanning's like, Novosad.
He's got to earn his keep. We got too many other talented players.
I cannot wait for Novosad to be a stud, and we're just sitting here, and I'm like, look who the Duck Insider is. The Beaver Boy.
What are you going to do if Dante Moore goes to New York?
I'll be so pissed. I'll be one of those Big 12 writers.
I still got my sticky note over here. I got it. I got it.
Making the selection for the Boston Bruins, we have a special guest.
See, somebody saving over our cuts. I told you.
What was that supposed to be?
It's supposed to be the Young Laugh.
Yeah.
Dude,
that one's
I'm
now gone.
You,
that one got saved over, too.
Somebody stole our cut.
Yeah. We need to.
I know, think
somebody,
I know who it is.
Somebody recorded over
I know who it is.
Yeah. I mean, we all know who it is.
It's Brian Buckley.
There needs to be a punishment. This cannot stand.
30 push-ups now.
Flogging immediately.
I'm already against it, and we can carry it over because I got more college football to get to at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Smith came in with high expectations and, dare I say, not only cleared them, like passed them in a way that I was not mentally ready for. I knew he'd be good. Holy crap. 76 catches, 15 tutties, over 1,000 yards receiving.
And it was the way he looked physically that was the most impressive to me.
That guy was in high school 5 months before he played in college. And I'm like, what?
Assuming he doesn't have some major injury or off-season or off-field incident that...
No, he by all accounts...
Is he going to be the number one pick when he comes out despite quarterbacks?
He's a dude that would... If you told me you're taking him number one over any of the quarterbacks in that class, I'd go, yeah, I get it. I get it. Calvin Johnson 2.0, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, at quarterbacks, teams are always so quarterback desperate that there would be a little bit of a surprise there for me. But in terms of like an overall talent of a player, he's definitely deserving of it. I think that's the kind of draft that you look at if he isn't the number one overall pick, saying somebody's going to get a steal because somebody will be desperate to take a quarterback.
I just, he talked with Manny Navarro of The Athletic. He did a whole sit down and he had a funny little thing. He was at this camp. And so all of these people are going to the camp. They've got Geno Smith there, Shadur, Cam Newton, like Robert Griffin III. Pretty big names at this camp. You know who the biggest star was? Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith. He's covered the video game, man. Comes out next week.
He pulled up in a black rented Lambo, and everybody just flocked to him to get his autograph, to get a photo. And it's just interesting hearing how he viewed his first season, how he basically said it was overwhelming. But then by the end of the year, it slowed down for him. And I'm like, the beginning was overwhelming? It didn't look like it.
All those catches and touchdowns were overwhelming?
I mean, a 6'3", 225-pound true freshman.
He's a freak. It also has,
that's insane.
It's also given me a moment because he's in the conversation of one of the best freshman seasons we've ever seen in college football history.
He's absolutely in that for me.
He was that impactful. And it sent me down a fun rabbit hole of remembering. And this guy does not get enough credit. So Jeremiah Smith, unquestionably one of the greatest wide receiver seasons ever for a freshman. Do you remember what Michael Crabtree did his freshman year at Texas Tech?
I don't remember his numbers.
Dude, so I went down this rabbit hole recently because he had a comment and I was looking up numbers. And I'm like, how? And you're like, oh, damn, those were incredible. Michael Crabtree as a freshman at Texas Tech in 2007 had 134 catches, 1,900 yards, and 22 touchdowns.
That's nuts.
Who was his quarterback there?
That was, oh God, who was the 2007? That was the year Texas Tech was really good, and they beat Colt McCoy in Texas, and they were 11-1, and then lost. I mean, was it Graham Harrell that year? Maybe?
I think Graham Harrell's right.
That sounds right.
Also, that system.
I mean, the system
I'm
undoubtedly helped him for sure.
Away from Crabtree. That's
yeah,
remarkable.
It was Graham Harrell, and he threw 48 touchdown passes.
But
that
when
year.
You looked at Crabtree in college, even his last year to Smith in his first, you're just like, you physically are like,
he looks like a number one NFL wide receiver
right
as
now,
an 18-year-old.
If he could
and
go
that
to the
you
draft,
don't happen very often.
He'd be the first receiver taken.
Yeah, I mean, that's the very few guys. You've had that with Calvin Johnson when he was a freshman. You had it with Julio Jones. I remember being a big deal that very, you could have guys with impactful years. Like Ryan Williams was great at Alabama.
He
not
was.
Quite Jeremiah Smith level.
Yeah.
But he's a little bit leaner. He's yeah. a little bit more of a quick
looked
twitch,
a little more
kind of
lock
jump guy.
Than yes. he did like yes. Calvin Johnson the yes. way Smith does.
That guy's a number one outside wide receiver on question.
Well, I didn't get to it. He has a quote that's now circulating, and I've loved the offseason of college football. Guys are talking now. I don't know if this is the money in the portal.
Everybody's feeling a little more confident. You got some money line
themselves.
In your pockets. Let's go, baby.
I want to tell you what he said. Also, pretty ridiculous comment, potentially, or maybe the greatest comment by this college football pundit. Loaded second hour. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.